Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
It's going down right here.
Hour number two kicks off here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network of Fantasy Sports Today. Big NFC South preview. I'm Kevin Walsh alongside George Kurtz. Just went through the New Orleans Saints. They certainly look poised to head back to the playoffs. There are some questions just in terms of how they're going to approach the season. Are they going to stick with what worked for them last year? George certainly thinks that they should. I completely agree with George because what they had going for them last year, it was really terrific. And now, though, they need to keep up that terrific play if they're going to want to repeat as division champs, because the Atlanta Falcons look poised for a very, very big season. 2 years ago, they win the NFC South. They looked like they were going to be one of the absolute best teams in football as that season was beginning to unfold. And we saw Kyle Shanahan getting the praise. We see Matt Ryan win an MVP. They get to the Super Bowl. They're up 28-3. We know how that story finishes. Move forward, Kyle Shanahan gets a head coaching job, much deserved, in San Francisco. He is replaced by Steve Sarkisian. And maybe last season, if you want to talk about struggling in the absence of, we saw a lot of teams struggle, right? Giants without Odell because he went down. Packers without Aaron Rodgers because he went down. But you might make the argument that the Falcons and losing Kyle Shanahan was a very, very tough blow for them. Matt Ryan's numbers were drastically different, and there was going to be natural regression with Kyle Shanahan's loss anyway, because that was a historic season that they had put together. Statistically, a top 10 offensive season of all time. It really was a special year for that Falcons offense. There was likely to be natural regression had Kyle Shanahan even stayed on. But that gets multiplied when he leaves and the replacement is questionable in Steve Sarkisian. But they've brought in Calvin Ridley. They look ready to go. The offensive line is strong. Matt Ryan looking to bounce back, paid the big-time extension. And I guess the big question, at least for me, George, is do you now feel comfortable that this offense can get closer to what they were in 2016 as opposed to what they were last season?
Yeah, I think people forget somewhat that you think, oh, head coach change, you know, it could take a year to adjust. Offensive coordinator change is just as bad because everybody has to learn a new system, and it could take a while for even the quarterback, Matt Ryan, to figure it out. So I don't think we should have been surprised last year. They took a step back offensively. So I do think another year in the offense should improve everybody overall. I also think that, you know, they had to get over what happened in the Super Bowl to New England. You know, really choking that up. They should have won that game. You know, but they forgot to run the ball. You know, forgot you had the running backs. Forgot to kill some clock there. You know, so I think that also had an effect there. We've sort of seen what that, making a mistake in the Super Bowl has done to the Seahawks. Right? I mean, you still got players 3 years later complaining about that play. So I think that festers somewhat as far as getting over that, knowing that you had a chance to do something and you may never get a chance to do again, and it was lost because of a coaching decision. So in some ways, I wonder if Shanahan leaving also alleviated some of that problem. So bottom line is this. I do think it's beneficial that they have another year in the system. I think the Falcons, yeah, you look at this team offensively. I mean, what are you going to complain about? You'd like a better tight end? You know, is that really where we're going here? You know, you got Devonta Freeman, you got Tevin Coleman, so you're fine there. Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, another gift from God in the draft, fell to you. You have Mohamed Sanu. I mean, top three wide receivers are fantastic. Matt Ryan, I think, has a bounce-back season. He's a guy I'm trying to target as my quarterback because I think I can get him round 11, round 12 in fantasy drafts, and I would love to have me some Matt Ryan. I think the offense as a whole revives.
So here's the thing with Matt Ryan, because I'm back and forth on him. So if I go 2012 to 2014, three-year stretch, 32 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, 26 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, 28 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. Now, it doesn't blow you away. Good quarterback numbers. 2015, he threw 21 touchdowns to 16 interceptions. And I thought maybe the fall off was coming. Although maybe it looked like Matt Ryan was about to hit the low point of his career. But obviously, 2016, not close. The best season he has ever had, career highs across the board. 38 touchdowns to 7 interceptions. Most touchdowns he's ever had in a year. Fewest interceptions he's ever had in a year. 4,944 yards. The most yards he's ever thrown for in a single season. You want to know how impressive, though, that yards total was, that being the most yards he's ever thrown for in a single season? He had 534 attempts, his fewest attempts since the 2009 year. Still the most yards he's ever thrown for. He completed almost 70% of his passes, averaged over 9 yards per attempt. Matt Ryan could have not been any better than what he was in 2016. You now go to 2017, completion percentage drops quite a bit. Yards per attempt drops quite a bit. About 900 less passing yards. 18 less touchdowns. 5 more picks, 20 touchdowns to 12 interceptions. Now, I have seen some stats that suggest that he was very unlucky last year. And some tip balls that maybe could have gone his way did not go his way. But that 2016 season, for me, it feels more like an outlier than anything to expect. And I don't think that anybody is expecting him to ever throw 38 touchdowns again. But the last time he threw 30 touchdowns, aside from that year, it only happened once. It was in 2012, George. So that's where I am a little questioned with Matt Ryan is, Was he headed for the downward trending? Was he trending downward without Kyle Shanahan, who then brought him up to a level? And now with Shanahan gone, maybe that form, that top 10 quarterback form, isn't there.
I think that's fair. I do. I completely agree that 2016 was an outlier. You said 38 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 9.3 yards per average. He averaged throwing the ball. By far, career highs, or if any interception, career low. That he hasn't even come close to any of those numbers, really, when you think about it, when you look at his stats. Last year, he threw 20 and 12. 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. I get it. 2015, 21, 16. So he sandwiched his great year by two poor ones. So I do understand that. The year you're talking about, 2012, you might say that's an outlier as well. He was 32 and 14, 7.7 yards per attempt. You know, pretty much in line with what he's done throughout his career. 7.7, 7.4, 7.5, 7.5, 7.7. Those have been his yards per attempt through the last 6 years, outside of the 9.3 in 16. So I think anybody expecting him to do 38 and 7 again is, you know, you're being unrealistic. I think what you're hoping for is closer to a 32, 14 he had in 12. And even that might be unrealistic. I think you're probably really hoping for 28, 29 touchdowns, interceptions, probably even the low double digit. That seems to be what he does. You know, he's only had 2 seasons below 10, 1-16 and 1-10. Way through 9 and 10, 7 and 16. So he's going to throw his share of picks, which generally we don't worry about as long as they're not silly like 18, 19. You can survive that. You need the touchdown passes. I do wonder about this with the offense. Okay. If and when Devonta Freeman gets hurt, and I certainly believe he will, I can't see him staying healthy, does this go to a more pass, I don't want to say pass friendly, but a more pass happy offense? Because Tevin Coleman is not the running back Freeman is. He's very good in his own right, but it's more of a pass catching back. You know, people forget that Tevin Coleman was supposed to be the starting running back for Atlanta. You know, he got hurt, Freeman took over and ran with the job. But Tevin Coleman can do the job, but he's a different kind of back. He's not really – he's not Christian McCaffrey. But he's better at catching. He's better at catching the ball in space using that kind of open room there. So I wonder. Like I said, I think Freeman gets hurt. There's no way I believe he plays 16 games. I'd put the over under at about 11. Concussion susceptible. He could be out longer. Running backs lead with their head. It scares the life out of me. No way I believe. That's why he's falling in fantasy drafts, because everyone believes the same thing. So, since I believe he gets hurt, I think they're going to have to throw the ball more, which could lead to more touchdowns there. Like I said, for where you're drafting him. You're talking around 10. Yeah, no one's expecting 40 touchdowns, 35 to 38 he threw in 16. You're hoping for 28, 29 because you hope for that payoff where you're able to load up on wide receivers and running backs early and get Ryan late, a solid quarterback, one with upside. And I think he does have upside. But there's no denying you look at the stats and you're like, oh, God. You know, maybe it was just a magical year with Shanahan that's never going to happen again. I believe it is, or it was. But I believe he can certainly do better than the 21 and 20 that sandwiched it. I think he does. I'll give him 28. I'll take what he did in 14. 28 touchdowns, 14 interceptions.
And I think the one thing that is nice about Matt Ryan, I think very dissimilar to Deshaun Watson, where I think you're paying for Watson's premium. You're not paying for Matt Ryan's premium as the 13th quarterback off the board, 105th overall player currently within the ADP. You're not paying for that. Last year, finished as the 15th overall quarterback. And there were, you know, two names that were right in front of him were Case Keenum and Blake Bortles. So, 13th quarterback off the board, those two guys in front of him. Matt Ryan should, as much as maybe, again, that year was an outlier, but he should be better than 20 and 12. And if he is, even marginally, that should, just then, it should give you return on investment, a top 13 quarterback. And I think that's what you're looking for because, you know, the gap between the 13th quarterback and, say, the 7th quarterback points-wise is very small. Something that, you know, you've said, Mike has said, and I think that's why you guys wait on quarterback, and it makes a ton of sense. If you're not going to walk away with Aaron Rodgers or maybe a Tom Brady, why then, you know, do you go big on these quarterbacks? Just wait. And a guy like Matt Ryan can be there for you. You can at least feel confident that there's going to be some baseline value there with maybe some upside. Because maybe he was a little bit unlucky last year. Maybe he needed a year to adapt without Kyle Shanahan there. And another big thing, I mean, you're talking about a really, really nice receiving core for him to work with. Julio Jones, holdout is over, got his money, Mohamed Sanu, and of course, they draft Calvin Ridley. So, you know, even if you're questionable about Matt Ryan, I think you want to have some shares of what should be, or what is certainly is, a very talented receiving core.
It is. I mean, Julio Jones, I know he scares people, right? Always has the foot injury. He sort of reminds me somewhat of Jordan Reed. Doesn't really miss games. He just misses quarters, plays. Sometimes he's just a decoy out there. He plays but can't really push off on it. But you're still drafting him second round latest, right? Wide receiver one, we'll take our chances with him. Calvin Ridley, like I said, he sort of fell into a great situation here. You have an established quarterback. They already have a number one that defense is all worried about. Strong running game. And no one's really expecting, you know, big things from you, which is going to allow you to slide under the radar, assuming you can learn the route tree, assuming you can get Ryan's confidence there. I mean, he's the one rookie wide receiver that I don't want to say I'm targeting, but I don't mind having on my team. Usually rookie wide receivers scare the life out of me because it's rare that you see one truly take off. You know, usually they're, if they're on a bad team, which means they're the number one cornerback, focus on the defense. They're on a good team, well, they're not the main target there. But Ridley's the one guy where they can change that, because I think, once again, going up against number two cornerbacks, I like his chance to be successful right away. And Sanu's another guy. You know, this guy was serviceable last year as a late pick guy you can plug in, certainly bye weeks, but even a guy who can fill in for injuries you didn't mind throwing in there. And I think he'll be that same kind of guy this season. They have more passing options this year. I think the guy maybe worried about out of all this would be the tight end Hooper. I think he's the one who's going to lose probably the most targets because Ridley's going to take more of them away.
One of the big things with Julio Jones. So last season, he plays Tampa Bay at home. He had 12 catches on 15 targets, 253 yards, 2 touchdowns, and it was actually the only game where he had a rushing attempt as well for 15 yards. for whatever reason, they decided that that was the Julio week. And he has one of these every single year where you look at it and you go, how is that not the greatest human being to ever play this sport? Like, it's crazy when you see him. But one of the things that jumps out to me is in that game he had two touchdowns. He had one touchdown throughout the rest of this season. Three touchdowns last year for Julio Jones is simply unacceptable. And I'd like to believe that that number should go up by a good margin. We were talking about 2016, historic year for this offense. He only played 14 games, so he missed two, but still, six touchdowns. Julio Jones has only gotten double-digit touchdowns once in his career. That's one of the things that I think remains incredibly difficult and really puzzling with Julio Jones. All of the skills are there. Why in the world can I not pencil this man in for 8 to 12 touchdowns? And I'm sitting here hoping he can hit six.
The Falcons are trying to figure that out too. What did we hear all last year at this time and during the season? Oh, he's going to be a red zone target. Oh, we're going to look for him in the red zone. We're going to find Julio Jones in the red zone. And he's just not. It doesn't make any sense. This is not a small man where you can't find him in the red zone.
Right. This isn't Jarvis Landry.
Too crowded. Right. He's 6'3", 220. He should absolutely be a target in the red zone, but he's not for whatever reason. You know they're looking for him. It's not like they're ignoring him there, but he's not. He's just not good at it, you know, whatever it is. But listen, you know that. You know going into a draft, it's silly to expect him to be a touchdown guy. If he is, that's a bonus. But last couple of years, you mentioned three touchdowns, which is a complete joke. 6'8", 6'2". That's been his last 5 years. So you want to average that out and say he's going to get 6 to 8 rather than your 8 to 12. That's what you have to expect. Anything more, hey, you got a bonus. It's the yardage and the receptions you're looking for. You know, and that's the way I go about drafting him. I can't complain about the touchdowns when I know going in it's probably not going to happen. Yeah, you'd like it to happen. And if he were a touchdown guy, then he'd be up a notch. Yeah, be with the true big boys, the Beckhams and the Antonio Browns. But we know it's not going to happen, Kev, so I don't think you can complain about it.
And I guess maybe that's one of the good things, is maybe it won't be a surprise. And if he does give you big touchdown numbers, and you come away with the best wide receiver in football, possibly. So we're going to come back. We're going to talk more about this. ADPs all throughout. George has questions about Devontae Freeman. We'll answer those on the other side.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, you are listening to Fantasy Sports Today with Kevin Walsh alongside George Kurtz as we give you our NFC South preview in the middle of talking Atlanta Falcons. But before we continue that, I want to let you know that we are giving away more World Series tickets on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This time it is to the winner of free DFS baseball contests. The contests are sponsored by DKMS. We're looking for your help in the fight against blood cancer. For many patients, a bone marrow transplant is the best chance for survival. While 30% of patients can find a matching donor in their families, 70%, nearly 14,000 each year, must rely on a benevolent stranger to step up and donate. You can find out how you can help the cause and, in the process, win 2018 World Series tickets playing free daily fantasy baseball. You play daily fantasy anyway. It's free. It could save a life, and you could go to the World Series. All you got to do is go to dailyroto.com/DKMS. That is dailyroto.com/DKMS. Your ticket to the World Series and someone's ticket to life. So, George, you mentioned Devonta Freeman, and I want to make sure I get to it because it is because it's important. We'll get back to the wide receivers, the defense, and all of those things. That you're worried about the Devonta Freeman missing a little bit of time. Last year, missed two games with a concussion. He is, no matter the scoring system with which you are playing, a RB1 based on ADP. Goes in the top 12 PPR standard half point currently. You're worried about the concussions. I think that is very fair concerns. Especially, you know, I mean, he has a smaller back. That just, it just happens to worry me. And especially, you know, concussions are a thing that they stay with you, especially in this sport. So I'll start here. With your concerns, considering that he is drafted very high, is Devonta Freeman someone that you find yourself not owning really at all this fantasy season? Sean, we got George. All right, we're gonna sort that out. George will be right back in a second. But I do think that this is something that you have to ask yourself, but you also have to be careful with. Whenever we're talking fantasy, and again, when we're talking win-loss projections with these football teams, you do want to try to keep injuries into account because they matter. They're such a part of football. And there's a couple of ways you can do that. Now, sometimes you can look at it from a team-wide perspective. And you'll hear people say this a lot. They suffered no injuries on defense last year. They were the healthiest team in the league. And they're saying that that's going to set them up then for the next season to run into injury struggles. That, though, is more of a projection. That is something that it worked out well for them last year, and maybe it does again. I think it's dangerous to just throw a blanket statement over last year they were healthy, this year there has to be an injury coming. I think that that's dangerous. But if you can hone in on specific players who have now accumulated a bit of a track record with an injury history, it is important to take that into account. You can't be blind when you are looking through these projections, again, fantasy win-loss totals with injury history. We do it with the New England Patriots, Rob Gronkowski, whether it be fantasy or real, knowing that you're more likely going to try and pencil him in for 12. You hope for 14. 16 is not reasonable to ask for. So, George, I believe you're back with us here. With Devonta Freeman, your concerns with the concussions, very valid. These are not just something you've, oh, he's small, I think he's going to get hurt. They're valid concerns with the concussions. Currently, no matter the scoring system which you play, drafted as an RB1, do you feel as if you will end up fading Freeman in most leagues throughout your fantasy draft process?
I like the player. All right, I truly like Devonta Freeman. I like the kind of back he is. I love the Falcons offense. I love the production I think he can give me. My problem is this, and I can't say this enough. He's got a concussion history. Mm. He's a running back. He's 5'8", not a big guy. And I don't think it would matter much even if he was a big guy. Running backs tend to lead with their heads. I mean, geez, he's going to, almost every play, he's going to take blows to the head. You know, some will be worse than others. Once you have one concussion, or in this case, a series of concussions, they seem to keep you out longer when you get another one. You're going to have a hard time convincing me, Kevin. I mean, extremely hard time convincing me that he's going to go through this entire season without another concussion. Mm-hmm. You know, and to tell you what, that might not even bother me as much if I knew I could get the backup for a cheap price, if they had a true handcuff. But they don't, because the backup is Tevin Coleman. And Tevin Coleman, even if Devonta Freeman had no concussion history, is going to be drafted anyway, because he's valuable as well in today's NFL, where every running back means something, especially one that's going to play. And Coleman's going to play no matter what Freeman's health is. Healthy or not, he's going to get his share of snaps. Not as many as Freeman, but he's going to get his share. So, therefore, I can't count on automatically getting Tevin Coleman. If I draft Freeman around 3, I can't say, I'll just take Tevin Coleman around 12, I'm fine. No, you're not. Because Coleman's probably going around 7, around 8. Now, are you all comfortable doing that? Are you all comfortable taking Freeman in round, like I said, round 3 or round 2? And then taking Coleman round 7, round 8. If you aren't, well, then you're good to go. You'll have one starting running back guaranteed. If not, if that bothers you, which it does bother me, then you know you had some decisions to make here. Maybe you do need to go in a different direction. The price on Freeman is good because he's fully because people are worried about the concussion history. So you can get him at I'm not a huge discount. I mean, he's round three is the latest he's going to go, maybe the end of round two. But what happens this? This is probably my nightmare scenario. Okay, I got Freeman. You know, the value was too good. I got him in round three. I'm going to get Coleman. Uh-oh, someone just took Coleman in round six. Now I feel terrible. You know, because according to my belief, he's not going to play. You know, he's not going to play 11 games. Now I didn't get Coleman, so I don't have a guaranteed running back. What about those games that he's out? You know, I'm short of running back now. I think I just hurt my team here. That's my problem, Kevin. That I have to make sure I get Coleman now. Does that mean now I have to take Coleman in round six? So I'm taking same running back in the same team in rounds two or three and six? I don't like that. I don't like spending that kind of capital there. It has nothing to do with the player. It's all because from everything I'm seeing and everything I believe, I mean, what if he suffers that concussion in week one and you don't know when he's returning again? Mm. You know, it's too much. What if he suffers it in week 13? You don't know what you're doing going into your playoffs. I don't like having that kind of uncertainty on my fantasy team.
I think that's when things become very difficult. When the, again, I know he's not a true handcuff, but we'll call him a handcuff for point's sake here. When the handcuff is drafted based on his own merit, it becomes very, very difficult. Because it's hard. Again, what Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara did is just ridiculous. And, you know, funny enough, in that 2016 season, again, where every person who put on a Falcons uniform had a great year, they had something similar. You could start Freeman and Coleman on their own merit. But I don't think that you can do that anymore. If you actually look last year, they weren't that far separated. I think it was about 30, a little over 30 fantasy points in PPR separated the two. Freeman saw 30 more carries, which got him 230 more yards. He ended up with two more rushing touchdowns. In the passing game, they were incredibly close. 18 receiving yards separated the two. Freeman ended up with 9 more catches, and he saw 7 more targets. Coleman had 3 receiving touchdowns to Freeman's 1. Freeman had the better year. But when you do talk about a concussion worry, and you think about the fact that you know Coleman's going to be used even when Freeman is healthy, maybe Coleman is really the play. Last year, the two games Freeman missed, Coleman had 19 carries and 20 carries in those two games, scored a touchdown in both of them. I think one of those games he had a 2-touchdown performance. And maybe some of Coleman's success could be tied to Freeman missing time. Wright had 5 rushing touchdowns last year, 3 of them coming in the two games that Freeman missed. But if those injury concerns are legit, then you absolutely find yourself in a spot with some serious value. I do ask you, George, if say Freeman, it's a lot, but say he misses 4 games, real football, win-loss projections, how much would that concern you for the Falcons? Or do you say, they've got Coleman, as long as Matt Ryan is ticking, I'm fine with either one of those running backs being out there?
Yeah, I don't think I'd worry about the Falcons all that much. They can, you know, Tevin Coleman was supposed to be their starting running back. You know, back before Freeman really had a chance, Coleman got hurt, Freeman took the job and ran with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sort of a Wally Pipp situation there. So I don't think they fall off that much with Coleman. They're different types of running backs. Coleman is better in the pass game than Freeman. Freeman's better between the tackles than Coleman is. They did draft Ito Smith as well. You know, if you're looking for a true handcuff, it's Ito Smith. But how much he plays really depends on an injury to one or the other. So I think they'd be okay. If you can say Freeman's going to be out, Coleman and Ito Smith, I think, can handle the job. It's not like defense is going to say, hey, screw the running game now. We'll just double cover Julio and his offense isn't going to move. I don't believe that. They would still be able to run the ball.
So the wide receivers, we mentioned Julio Jones for this group. He's currently the 4th wide receiver going off the board, which touchdown problems or not, it's Julio Jones. Like that's where you're going to see him go. But Mohamed Sanu and Calvin Ridley are both guys that will be drafted as well. And how have you kind of been sifting through the pair? Sanu right now is the 62nd wide receiver off the board, 177th overall player currently on ADP. I'm pulling up Calvin Ridley's now. But I've seen them somewhat close to each other in a lot of spots. Calvin Ridley's the 48th wide receiver off the board, 126. So a gap is starting to come between the two. And do you feel better 14 wide receiver spots earlier taking Calvin Ridley, or do you go for the value and the guy that has been there now the past couple of years with Mohamed Sanu as the 62nd wide receiver off the board and a couple of rounds later?
You know, in the early part of my drafts, Kev, I'm a conservative drafter. I'm not going to take too many chances. Mm-hmm. But as the draft goes on, you know, I'm willing to roll the dice a little bit more.
Okay.
And I'll draft Ridley. You know, I'm going to take a chance on Ridley. I mean, there are many reasons. One, he's a top talent. They drafted him in the first round. You know, you generally don't ignore your first-round picks. You want these guys to succeed. I think they do expect big things out of Ridley. Sanu is what Sanu is. He'd be much more interesting to me if they didn't draft Ridley. You know, if it was just Sanu and Hardy, oh, yeah, I'd be much more interested in Sanu. And I think he would be a wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5 candidate. He'd move up a tier. I think where he's being drafted is correct now. You may, if you want to argue that Sanu is a safer play, I think that's right. I think he might be safer, but I think there's limited upside here. I wonder, is it just a matter of time until he's the third wide receiver? Mm. You know, is it, and when does that come? Week 1? Week 3? Week 5? After the bye? As soon as Ridley catches onto Matt Ryan, which we don't know when that'll come, could come in week 2 of preseason for all we know. You know, so I think Ridley's going to be the man there, the man they expect bigger things from. He's going to get more chances as the season rolls along here. So although I'm a conservative drafter early in drafts, as it moves on, especially the late rounds, I start rolling the dice a little bit more. I'll go with Ridley.
So we saw Sanu last year to get 97 targets, and Taylor Gabriel, who's now in the Chicago Bears, got 51 targets. So 148 between last year what Sanu had and Gabriel had target-wise. So if you were to divide up 148 targets between Sanu and Ridley, even if it went down the middle, that's not bad. You'll take that. You certainly will. And I think that Calvin Ridley, I would probably project, I mean, again, down the middle, that's 74 targets. But I think that you're right. I think that he would see more targets than Mohamed Sanu. And that's, you know, and saying that he could possibly go for, you know, 80 targets, that's really nice. But it certainly could be higher. Again, Sanu saw 97 last year. And if Calvin Ridley goes out there and shows that he's the better of the two, I don't want to start saying 100 targets. That's very high. But if Julio misses a little bit of time, misses 2 games, as you mentioned, the injury concern there, and Calvin Ridley has 2 games as the number one for this team, and he shows that he's clearly ahead of Mohamed Sanu, then maybe your downside 70 targets with 100 target upside with a good quarterback situation, talented players around him, and a player in his own right who is very, very talented. So I agree with you. I do think that of the two, I like that risk for Calvin Ridley, and especially in terms of these rookie wide receivers, I think Calvin Ridley might have a sizable gap compared to that to the rest in that group.
Agreed, especially about the rookie wide receivers. Ridley's the only one I expect to touch in normal leagues, and by saying normal, I mean if you have 5 bench spots. If you're playing with a league with 8-10 bench spots, that's a little different. Yeah, but with normal leagues, we have 5. And I love your target. Hey, I was promised there'd be no math on the show, so I'm a little dumbfounded now. That's a joke. I can do the math. So, yes. If you just divide it, 74 targets. I would take 74 targets.
Yeah.
You know, and now we're talking, I mean, when you break it down, though, you're right. I mean, those Gabriel targets have to go to somewhere. You know, but what if they don't run the ball? What if Freeman's does get banged up, doesn't get hurt? They're not going to run the ball as much. I mean, once again, I think maybe 5 less rushes a game. But still, that could be another target or two. I look at it this way. He was a gift to them. They weren't expecting Ridley to be there. A lot of people thought he might go top 10. You know, instead he slipped them a draft for whatever reason. You know, teams weren't big on wide receivers. Now they have a wide receiver they believe is a perfect complement to Julio Jones. You know, a true eventual number one wide receiver again. First-round pick, they're not going to forget about this kid. This is not a 4th-round pick. Oh, maybe he plays, maybe he doesn't. You know, this is a first-round pick. They're going to get him integrated in that offense. They want him to succeed for various reasons. I think even the Falcons know his upside is much more than Mohamed Sanu. Sanu is what he is. He's an NFL wide receiver, too. Ridley can be an NFL wide receiver one. They're going to put him in this offense. Wide receivers are always tricky. The reason why we don't have, and fantasy-wise, we don't worry about rookie running backs, because really the running back, you know, get the handoff, hit the hole. The biggest thing about a rookie running back is making sure you can pick up the blitz. And if you can't, well, then you just won't be there on third down. You're still going to play first and second down. Rookie wide receivers are completely different. You need to learn the entire route tree, which is difficult as it is. You need to get in the trust of the quarterback for two things. One, that you'll be where you're supposed to be. And two, when the blitz is coming, if you're the hot read, that you're going to know that. You're going to be able to read that as well and be that guy, not get the quarterback killed. It's just harder for a rookie wide receiver to excel. It's easier for a running back.
And quickly to mention, this offensive line is wonderful. One of the five best likely in football. Secondary was awesome last year. Their corners, Trufant, Alford, combined to be a pair of really locked down guys. It's a very, very good roster. We come back. Carolina Panthers preview next here.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, Kevin Walsh alongside George Kurtz, taking you all the way up until noon. Preview in the NFC South, went through the Saints, went through the Falcons. Now we talk about the Carolina Panthers. Panthers, one of the teams that had already gotten some difficult news to start their training camp. Right tackle Darrell Williams goes down with a bad knee injury. Very well could be season ending, but they seem to be optimistic about it. Nevertheless, it does look like it is going to hold him out for a little bit there. And I think that is very noteworthy, especially considering that they lost an all-pro guard in Andrew Norwell to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that's already going to be an uphill battle for them. So they're going to hope that they can get Darrell Williams back, perhaps for a playoff push. And let's just begin right there. We talked a little bit about it in the very opening segment. But, George, if this team now loses Andrew Norwell, they lose their right tackle in Darrell Williams, as someone who does put out his ranks and everything like that, so that's why it is good to ask you there. How much, if any, do you think you could find yourself moving some of these guys around, McCaffrey, Cam, maybe Greg, tight ends is weird. I don't know how much you would move Greg Olsen. But C.J. Anderson, even some of these wide receivers, based on, an update, like an offensive lineman potentially being out for an extended period of time.
Well, this is a weird offense, right? Because it's not your traditional NFL offense, not even close. I mean, Cam Newton is really an athlete playing quarterback. He's not very accurate, doesn't really know where the ball's going all the time, but some of his best stuff is improvisation, sort of what Russell Wilson does, and other scrambling quarterbacks who have bad offensive lines. They have to run around, make a play. And so that's what Cam Newton may have to do more than what he's had to do in the past. I believe Cam Newton, I don't know if it was you yesterday, it might have been Joe Galino, point out the stat that he's been hit more than any other quarterback over the past, over a certain amount of years. So that's concerning. Right? I mean, I know Cam's a big guy, but sort of like Ben Roethlisberger. He's a big guy too, right? Big Ben. But yet these hits add up. Mm-hmm. Injuries happen. You know, Cam hasn't been great at protecting himself. You know, a couple times now we've seen him slow down when he thought he had touchdowns and he got creamed because of it, which has led to concussion problems. I guess fantasy-wise, we were worried going into the last season that Carolina would try to protect him and not have him run, not do the quarterback sneaks. That ended up being false. You know, so I guess that's good for fantasy, maybe bad for camp. But they're going to do what they have to do to win. And a big part of that is letting Cam be Cam. It is. You know, letting him run the ball, take those hits, and hope he just gets up from them. McCaffrey, he's not your traditional running back either. I mean, he's going to catch the ball in the backfield. So, I mean, I'm not saying the offensive line isn't important for him, but it's not going to hurt him as much as it would other traditional running backs because he's not a traditional running back. You know, his value isn't catching the passes. C.J. Anderson, it could hurt because he's going to need some blocking, and he may not get much of it. You know, as far as the wide receivers, I mean, I like Funchess because Cam is not very accurate, but Funchess is a big guy, big wingspan, can catch passes that maybe aren't on target. So you like that, especially in the end zone, which is where he, in my mind, he should excel in the red zone because, once again, big target there. But is he the kind of guy that can get open on first scrambling, Cam? I don't know. He's not that quick, you know, that twitchy little quick guy. Is that going to be DJ Moore when he gets acclimated to the offense? Olsen's back for a full season. He's sort of been Cam's security blanket. He had a so-so year last year. When he first came back, he was blah, and then sort of turned it on late. You know, so we'll see what Olsen has. I seem to be bringing up Bill Parcells a lot. You know, but what did Bill Parcells say about players who are thinking about retirement? They are retired. Mm. Well, Olsen thought about it, right? He almost got the job that Jason Witten got. So it makes you wonder, you know, I don't want to say his commitment, but it makes you wonder if he's fully there or if he's wondering when his career is coming to an end as well. So I have a lot of question marks about this offense, but I do almost every year. And Cam makes it work because of what he can do.
I mean, he is a special talent, Cam Newton. I just kind of had his career log in front of me. I still can't believe he ran for 14 touchdowns his rookie season. Like, that is something that I don't know if it's I'm sure it's appreciated enough in the fantasy community. I'm sure that there are people that got some insane value off of that. But, I mean, he had 706 rushing yards with 14 touchdowns. I mean, those are what, RB2 numbers? Probably that year just as a running back? That's insane.
It is. I mean, it certainly is. And as fantasy, we want him to run the ball because that's where his value is. Getting 60 yards is the equivalent of a touchdown. With his legs, hopefully he throws one or runs one in, another touchdown, and that's passing yards. You have a great week. Yeah, but I'll say it again. You know, he's not. I mean, he is a young man, but in football terms, he's not a young man anymore. And you, every time if I have Cam in my fantasy league, every time I see him run, I'm like, oh God, is this going to be the one that puts him out now? Because these linebackers, they're aiming for him, they're going for him. You know, they know Cam is really is this team's offense, is this team's engine really? So that's always going to concern me some that this will be the last time. This is when one time he doesn't get up, they go to the sideline, they're hurt, gets another concussion, you know, that sort of thing. So I would just like to see Cam be a little smarter and protect himself. Mm. There's no shame, especially in a quarterback, sliding. The rules are there to protect you. Use them.
Cam is currently one of the top quarterbacks for sure. That is currently being drafted right around that Carson Wentz, Drew Brees range, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson. How do you feel about Cam relative to the rest of those guys?
I mean, you said he's a special talent. Drafting wise, though, it's a problem I'm not going to worry about again because he's going to go earlier than what I'll draft. So, I mean, my issue is this: I wonder if it's because I'm older. And what I mean by that is this. You know, I grew up in the age of the traditional quarterbacks. You know, I grew up in the 70s. So Terry Bradshaw, Roger Staubach, Dan Fouts, and you go on and on to the 80s was the same thing. Even the 90s, the Aikmans, the Kellys, the guys who, you know, sick off 3, 5, 7-step drops, get the ball, throw the ball. Now, younger fantasy players, they've grown up more with athletic quarterbacks, guys who can run around, make plays. So is it easier for you to adjust to that? I think for me, it's a little hard because I keep looking, well, you know, he's not your traditional quarterback. He's not a very good, accurate passer. How can I draft him for a fantasy team? You know, you have to be willing to understand that getting that 60 yards rushing is the equivalent of a touchdown. Even if he only throws 180 yards passing, that's still another 7 points. You know, so now you're up to 13. If he can throw a touchdown, now you're at 17. You know, and it's, the numbers are adding up. It's just different from your old-time quarterbacks, who you only you're looking at is yardage, thrown, and touchdowns. Here you got that that extra rushing yards. What if he rushes one in, too? Now he took it a monster day. He's got 23. If he throws 2 touchdowns, you're up to 27. So it's just a different way of looking at it. I said I won't draft him because I'll be waiting forever. And by the time it comes around to me, Cam will be long gone here. But he's a guy where if he slips, you know, around – I generally don't look for a quarterback till probably round 9, round 10. That's when I start to pay attention. Mm-hmm. But if someone like Cam, a guy who's a top 5, top 6 quarterback, is still there at the end of round 7, top of round 8, then the value may be too good for me. And I'm like, you know, maybe I should get this guy. You know, forget all the problems I have with him. He's still there. He's slipping for whatever reason. I would take Cam over Drew Brees because of that. But I also know that the time I get Cam, it'll be the year he gets hurt.
That there's always that concern. Now, one of the things that is interesting with Cam, maybe more than any quarterback, especially within these top guys, is how you can see his impact in all facets of the offense, especially in terms of their fantasy value. He was the best runner on this team last year. He led them in yards, was tied for the total rushing touchdowns. And he had 139 carries. He had more rushing attempts than Christian McCaffrey. And he only threw the ball. I say only just because, you know, we've talked about some other guys, 550. I still can't get over the 672 Drew Brees. I mean, threw 492 passes last year. It's a minuscule number, but I mean, he's not even getting to 500. If you add in the other 9 attempts made in the passing game onto Cam's 501 attempts, it's not a ton. That's not a ton to go around. So it is all weaved in, and it all ties back to Cam Newton. But the first place where it does jump out, obviously, is the quarterback. But then you go to that rushing. Jonathan Stewart is gone. He's replaced by C.J. Anderson. McCaffrey enters year 2. Let me just start here. Do you think that Cam leads this team in rushing again? I'll give you the numbers. Last year, he was at 754 yards. Jonathan Stewart was at 680. McCaffrey far behind them at 435. The way the attempts worked out, Cam was at 139. Stewart got to 198 and then just 117 for McCaffrey. Do you think Cam leads them in rushing yards again?
I'm going to go with no. And the reason is I think C.J. Anderson is a better Jonathan Stewart at this point in their careers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Stewart was aging last year, so I think it's better. But I'll tell you, you could make an argument, because of what we've been talking about off and on all show, that all those numbers come down, rushing yardage, because of the offensive line.
Mm.
You already lost your best offensive lineman to free agency, and then you lost another one. Well, we assume you lost another one now. Well, he's got MCL tear and a patella tendon displacement dislocation, which, man, that sounds painful. I don't know. I guess we can't really. You know, Norwell, you lost, fine, but that's last year's team. So you lost one of your top 5 from this year. I mean, you could make a very strong argument that the rushing yards comes down for all of them. Maybe not Cam as much.
Yeah, maybe he has to scramble. It goes up.
I'm wondering that as well, but I think there'll be more designed runs for C.J. Anderson.
Yeah.
But you can make a strong argument that Cam's, you're right, could go up because he's going to scramble more. Because of a bad offensive line, hey, here come the linemen. Here come the linebackers coming at them. He's going to have to move. And that's what he does best. You know, so you can make that argument as well. Although if I'm a defense, you know, Cam's the kind of running the quarterback, which is always strange to say, is you just want to contain him. You want him to throw the football. You don't want him to run. So maybe you're not rushing him as hard. Just contain him so he has to throw the football. In some ways, he can do less damage that way.
This is why this team is so fascinating to me. That's why I was very, very excited to do the NFC South today. It's just kind of the Panthers' breakdown, again, in terms of the rushing and the receiving is wild. Their lead running back is their quarterback. Then you've got C.J. Anderson. He's the 41st running back off the board and has a very good chance to see 200 carries and lead this team in rushing. If Stewart had 6 touchdowns last year, I don't think you could rule out a 750, 8-touchdown season for C.J. Anderson. And then you've got Christian McCaffrey, who goes as an RB1. It is a wild roller coaster when you look through these projections, but you get C.J. Anderson, 41st running back off the board. A couple of guys that are ahead of him. At 36 is Carlos Hyde, 37 Rex Burkhead, 38, Jamal Williams, 39, Isaiah Crowell, 40th, Nick Chubb. I'll say the names again. Hyde, Burkhead, Jamal Williams of Green Bay, Isaiah Crowell, and Nick Chubb. How many, if any, would you move C.J. Anderson in front of from that list of five guys?
Okay, I think I missed one. I got Hyde, Burkhead, Jamal Williams, Chubb, and who was the fifth?
Isaiah Crowell.
Isaiah Crowell. Okay, and Elijah McGuire, I think they announced out 3 to 6 weeks with the broken foot. Not that that really is an immense thing. That could have put him back for week one, actually. Hyde, Burkhead, I mean, you're seeing the problem here. Every one of these guys is a caddy. Is someone else there. Hyde, you got to worry about. Not only got to worry about Chubb, who are both on this list here, you got to worry about Duke Johnson as well. You know, so you're really guessing which one's going to start for Cleveland, which one's going to be that back, and I'm not going to play that game. I would rather have Duke over both of them because I get him later. Burkhead, well, playing the New England guessing game, no thank you. I'm not going to do that. Crowell, Jets, Sam Darnold still holding it, which is the dumbest thing ever, by the way, that is Sam Darnold's holding out. Oh, man, I think I railed against this with Joe Gallina yesterday, and I just don't get it. I mean, you're holding out for offset language because you want to get paid twice in case you get released in 4 years. And the Jets are fighting against this. So Darnold thinks he's going to get released, and the Jets think it's so it's two. I mean, it doesn't make any sense here. It's 4 years. You know, third overall pick. What do you mean you're going to get released? You should be here at least 4 years. You should be there. Oh, forget it. It drives me insane. And he's just missing practices. He's not going to start now for the team. Mm-hmm. If he started, wouldn't he get paid more anyway? I mean, oh, God. Makes me angry.
I was reading the newspaper in 2018, and apparently what this kind of has come down to is it's not Darnold. I mean, I understand it's Darnold in terms of the player. But apparently he is begging his agent to let him go practice. And he's like, you need to let me take care of this. I am your agent for a reason. Please let me handle the business side of this. And I wonder if that's maybe the stall here, where the Jets know that Darnold just wants to get on the field. They're like, we'll just keep waiting. We know eventually he'll crack. And the agent's like, just give us what we want. Like, you traded so many pieces to come up to number three. You didn't even think we would be there. We're there. Just give us the language and the contract that we want. I do think that it is. I mean, what a complete mess. Sam Darnold legitimately does have the potential to start for this team week one. And I would not hate if he started for this team week one. But a battle between the Jets front office and his agent, not really Sam Darnold. I personally am willing to rid him of the blame because from what I've seen from Darnold, I buy that he is calling his agent like, can I go to practice today? So I buy that personally. But of course, right, the Jets trade up to three, kind of blindfolded, don't know what quarterback's going to be there. Their number one quarterback, who they didn't even think had a chance to be on the board for them at three, gets there, and now he misses the first couple of days of training camp because of offset language in a contract. Very New York Jets.
That's the first thing I thought, too. So Jets, right? You get, once again, another gift from God, because I think he should have gone one to Cleveland. You get Darnold at three, you know, and now you're arguing over the fact that you might release him within 4 years and you don't want him to get paid twice. You know, for those who don't know, the offset language, all they're doing, arguing, is if Darnold did get released before the end of this contract, which will be a four-year deal, that if he goes to, I don't know, Cleveland, he'll get paid by the Jets and whatever Cleveland offers him. The offset language eliminates that. Cleveland have to pay him the rest of the Jets contract, and Jets will be off the hook, that sort of thing. It's idiotic on both sides. And by the way, I don't let Darnold off the hook, because if he's letting his agent tell him this, you know, last I checked, the agent works for you. You know what? You should be able to say, hey, go to hell. Forget the offset language. Let's go. I want to be in camping. I want to make my money. I want to start my career here. I don't want to sit on the bench for a year. It's silly to me. I mean, the agent works for you. We see this in baseball all the time with Scott Boras taking his clients afraid and say, agent works for you.
We will discuss more with the Panthers skilled players, C.J. Anderson, McCaffrey, Olsen, all next here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.